You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM, or on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
Another round.
Tell you a story about a woman I know. She heard a song on her radio. Song told a story about a woman and a man.
Tune in to CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for
Another round.
This song rocked her soul. Well, it rocked her world. She was holding on to something.
Welcome to Melodies in Mind, the happiest show on earth. You are being summoned into the songs of the spirit with social concern. So let it happen. Relax, kick back, and join the harmony. Every week there is a feature guest interview and performance starting at 8 p.m., a review of the week in CJSF folk music, and then a full hour song circle at 9. Now, come with me and let us meet today's feature guest. Shall we?
Yes, we shall. We have the Creaking Planks. Welcome to Melodies in Mind.
Thanks for having us.
So let's hear what the Creaking Planks sound like.
Man's pants. Glad he didn't tear them, else I wouldn't buy them. Nah, I'd never wear them. No pleats, no cuffs, just like I wanted. Best of all, they're not haunted. And I'm rare for the dead man's pants. Show respect for the dead. Though I never met him, besides pants hanging there, and I knew I had to get him. Well, he must have had style, must have had taste, must have had a 34 leg and a 32 waist to reuse, recycle, all of that. But do they make my ass look fat? Yeah, does my ass look fat? In these, a dead man's pants. And I'm toast, lying on the slab. These pants will be up for grabs. I may be covered in dirt, 6 feet deep. Pants will be clean and they'll be dirt cheap. And mess pants, you could be wearing them when I'm gone. I won't mind sharing them, dead man's pants. Dry clean only. Talking about dead man's pants.
And those are Creaking Planks. So that's an interesting introductory song there. Is that a true story?
I am wearing thrift store pants right now.
Yes.
Me too.
Many of us, I'm sure. Maybe you can call in if you're listening and you're wearing thrift store pants, but we probably won't put you on the air. But, you know, that's probably the best song on its subject ever written.
Yes, I would have to agree.
That started out as a performance poem by Al Mader, the Minimalist Jug Band, but it needed to be set to music, so we liberated it and set it free.
We have a bit of a jug instrument here.
What is the big kind of buckety...
The washtub bass, or gut bucket, as I call it.
Yeah.
That's like they used to use in the old jug bands in the 20s and 30s. As far as I know, as far back as they did laundry, apparently.
Yeah. Let's see if we can describe this for the audience.
Basically, you got your average metal washtub, large enough to fit a small child or two.
Yeah, to sit in and have a bath in, yeah.
Yeah, and then wooden pole, but the size of a broom pole. I've seen a hockey stick used.
Uh-huh.
And then a string, not too stretchy, a bit thicker than a shoelace.
And
that's about that.
And the way it works is that you pull the string, or how exactly does it work?
Well, you pull the stick, and the string is attached to the bucket, and it gets tighter, and that changes the pitch.
Tension.
So just the tension, yeah. But then I also walk it kind of like a bass.
Right on.
So you can kind of get some notes. It's more percussive. Percussive, I think, than a melody instrument.
All right, great.
Part of the rhythm section, but that's why you have your pirate code name we all have in the planks. You're the revolutionary, or the revolution, Rumble Bucket?
Rumble Bucket.
There you have it. I'm Black Box Squeeze Beard, and behind me on sax is Captain Jack Spare Ribs.
Spare Ribs, nice.
There you have it. We
always
framed
good
ourselves
to have the spare.
You never know when you might need them.
Yeah.
We framed ourselves the Jug Band of the Damned. Just because everyone's always expecting some kind of twee, wholesome bluegrass stuff when they see us pull these old-timey instruments out.
Yeah.
And we like to have some surprises. Pull out a bit of the unexpected. Not to say there's nothing of merit in the traditional repertoire. You just got to mix it up to keep it lively, keep them on their toes.
Mm-hmm. And the Creaking Plank's name, what's the origins of that?
Well, it can go either way. When I was brought on board, they said it's excellent. About 4 years ago, we've been going. This is actually just about our birthday. They said, excellent, we'll have an accordion for our second show, and we can do some sea shanties, which was a great idea, except, of course, that I have no interest in playing sea shanties. The most boringest, repetitive, well, all sorts of old traditional folk musics are boring and repetitive, and all sorts of modern pop musics are, too. But those ones are at least accessible to the modern ear. But imagine planks, as you might hear on a deck, rolling in the tides, creaking. But of course, not just gang planks and poop decks and what have you, but also you can envision small shacks in rural communities, blasted by weather and leaning at ungainly angles. And these will also contain creaking planks, so we can be nautical or country folk if we needed to be.
Right, wherever there's a plank creaking.
The funniest part about the name is that sometimes people remember what the name means, but not actually the name. We had some people come up to us and say, we remembered you from that show you did in November, but we couldn't remember what you were called. We thought it was like the squeaky floorboards or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's very close. It means almost exactly the same thing, but of course, you can't find us if you look for the squeaky floorboards and we're actually creaking
planks. Right, that could be a band somewhere in Montana or something.
Well, if it wasn't now, before, it probably is now.
Yeah.
And we will fight them
to the death.
And then take their pants.
Damn right. Got to make sure they're dead first.
Yes.
Live men's pants. It's too easy.
Well then.
Yeah, I'm not going any further.
Wow. I thought this was a family show, Rowan.
Well, let's hear another song from the Creaking Planks.
For some Osasa? We like to say this is a sing-along, but of course, if you're not singing at home, we're not really going to know the difference. The song's only got one word, and that word is its name. Osasa. 4, 3,
Osasa, Osasa. Osasa, Osasa. Oh, sa, 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 sa. Oh,
all slow and sad. You haven't been singing, I'm talking to you. This is your chance.
Gotta get my sea shanty in there somewhere.
Keep working for the sea shanty.
He thinks he shall, I think he shan't. Shanty.
Shanty. Wow. Nice.
Wow.
All right.
As you see, cool. That sense of humor is very important to our music also.
Yeah.
Especially with the instrumentals. If you can't put it in the lyrical content, you just need to make some really wretched wordplay in between songs.
Mm-hmm. Now, this band is quite varying in numbers, too, I understand.
Indeed. We began as a trio, and one of the trio went on hiatus, and we had to re-envision the strategy, because when you're just an accordion and a ukulele, you build yourself as a band, and someone gets sick, you just deliver up a little girl with a ukulele, and that's not the band we booked. So I thought, well, either we should part our separate ways, but we're having lots of fun, so maybe we should just open up the gates and bring in lots of other instruments also. So we have this kind of ad hoc floating extended community of performers on misfit instruments of various types, from the, what was it, mandola, to the santur, to the musical saw. We don't get to play with these performers very often, because as you can imagine, they're very in demand.
Yes.
But not uncommonly, we'll have a fiddle player, our Hawaiian steel slide guitar player, Dr. Steelhand, with his claws on, and of course the uke and percussion, and we have our improvised percussion kit on an ironing board full of pots and pans and lamps and empty wine bottles and things, and pieces of it are falling off every time we play, and it's just kind of like going to the races and watching the horses. Like, I think the bottle is going to fall off first. Like, no, the flower pot. Look at that. Every time he hits, that thing is just on the... And then, of course, at the end of the set, the whole thing gets tipped over, and that's one way to guarantee you don't have to play an encore, because your kit is smashed all over the stage.
It's kind of like a rock show.
But one advantage to the floating ad hoc formation is we don't all have to be available, as long as we can reach a quorum of, say...
I think three will work, guys.
One, two, three.
Yeah. All right. Well, really, we're five in here, but some of you don't realize your planks yet. Just
not
support.
Yet. I haven't found my plank.
We'll have to give you a banana or harmonica or something.
Yeah.
We've tried to fit the full group in a studio before. It doesn't work out.
Yeah. What is the full attendance at this?
The most we've ever had on stage at once is 11 people.
11. Yeah.
Which endears us to sound. Technicians, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I think if you add them all up, we probably have had about 18 or 19 people go through the planks. But they're not all cut out for the grueling regimen of being a regular plank.
Now, is there kind of a ritual when people are leaving to do with planks?
We just stop talking to them. They're bored.
Oh, stop talking. Yeah, okay.
You were hoping for something with, like, paddling, I guess.
Yeah, I was trying to lead you somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going there. I'm not going for that one.
I'm trying to write your history as you go.
So are we.
Okay, well, let's hear another song from...
Should we go for the count?
Do you want to do...
I'm thinking we won't have time to do all of them.
Thank you.
really love to call. I could sit and count all day. Sometimes I guess carried away. And I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start counting, it really hides itself. Faster, faster, it's so exciting. I count up forever, counting till I drop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Once I start counting, it really hides itself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Once I start counting, it really hides itself. I count the spiders on the wall. I count the cobwebs in the hall. I count the candles on the shelf. When I'm alone, I count myself. Yes, I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start counting, really hard to stop. Faster, faster, so exciting. I could count forever, counting till I drop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Once I start counting, it really hard to stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. I love counting, it's the song of the count.
That's one great song.
Probably the best song that ever came out of Sesame Street.
Is that actually one that was used?
That is an actual. We don't write our songs so much as we do. Like DJs, you go crate digging, looking for rare grooves. We go looking for really, really obscure songs to cover.
Uh huh.
And then people will think, "Oh, you wrote that amazing song." Like, no, we just reinvented that amazing song. We took the gem, we polished it, dusted it up, put it in its proper setting.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
And in that sense, we're pirates. We don't really use our own material as much as we seek out other people's material and then kind of pillage and destroy it.
We do need to do a lot of rearranging because you'd be surprised how little music is available already arranged for washed-up bass, accordion, and saxophone.
I mean, surprised.
This is a very common arrangement.
Yes.
That's what the Dutch are for, though.
Can we throw another one at you?
I don't know if you're going to throw something at me.
How about we sing at you instead?
It'd be soft.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't play anything soft.
How about we play numbers and names?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just go from 8.
Okay. 8. Just like each other. Coming for your daughter.
socks. Hooks and nails, ropes and chains. Pokes and brains and numbers and names. Numbers and names, numbers and names. Numbers and numbers and numbers and names. Numbers and names will pull you to shame. Numbers and names.
So do you folks have any recordings?
We have lots of lossy recordings. We have some live bootlegs. We have some half-baked demos.
Yeah.
We may make one available to you at some point, but we don't have anything that can live permanently at the SFU Music Library. But you can find some hints and sounds of us at our MySpace page, myspace.com/creakingplanks, and we do post recordings and whatnot. We had a compilation of bootleg, kind of a mixtape of ourselves from our live shows posted back in October.
That
was
fun.
Posted on our website at creakingplanks.com. So you can't go to the store and buy us, but you can pull us down onto your computer, and if you look us up, you might be able to take us home.
Because and you can also go to YouTube and watch us.
Oh, yeah.
There's that, but not on the radio.
No, not on the radio.
Radio makes for bad YouTube.
Make for bed.
They're
it's
just
true.
Sitting there talking. What gives?
Yeah. Well, people always said I had a good face for radio.
Oh.
Yes.
I got a good physique for radio myself.
Physique for radio, yes.
Radio my fashion darling. Sense is perfect for radio. I also spend some time on radio every Friday night at Co-op. I do the all accordion radio show, Accordion Noir, from 9:30 to 10:30.
Don't you also do an open mic of some sort?
I also host an open stage at Spartacus Books called 57 Varieties. I got tired of going to all the open mics and having it be 10 guitar players and me.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, well, we can't exclude you, but you obviously don't belong here. Where do you belong? Well, nowhere, really. So I had to kind of make a place where I would belong. And that's down at Spartacus Books, the third Tuesday of every month. That's coming up in February. I may have to send you a notice.
Yeah, except that's on a Tuesday. Is that in the... doesn't quite work.
Thwarted again by the vagaries of the Georgian calendar.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear another song from the Creaking Planks. You're listening to Melodies in Mind on CJSF 90.1 FM. You can also listen to us on the internet at www.cjsf.ca and just go to the Listen Live part. You can listen from your computer.
Egad.
Treehouse, help me, I think
think I went to bed. Help me, I crashed my tricycle. Help me, cause my goldfish is dead. I wanna hug you like a teddy bear. I wanna make you eat a mud pie. I wanna hug you like a teddy bear. My bedtime is so unfair. I put a slug in your head.
That's the Creaking Planks. That's awesome. Excellent. Really great to have you guys as a feature. And we'll hear more from the Creaking Planks between 9 and 10 p.m. in the Song Circle, along with three other magnificent acts. And now it's time for the interim. We are going to have a not-for-profit interview this week. We have Seva, which will be coming in just a moment. But I'll be reading some public service announcements until then. And here we go. I'm going to start with the first one and end with the fourth one. And in between, I'll do the second and the third. And so this will just be a chance, people, to do a little switch here, and we'll get Seva into the room. Iranian Accented Cinema of Displacement, the Center for the Comparative Study of Muslim Societies and Cultures presents a lecture by Hamid Nafisi of Northwestern University on Iranian Accented Cinema of Displacement. The lecture will take place on Friday, January 30th at 7 p.m. at the Fletcher Challenge Canada Theater, room 1900, SFU Center, 515 West Hastings. Admission is free. For more information, you could go to cs_hc@sfu.ca. I wonder if you guys would be interested in trying one. I'm just going to pass a couple on and just see if you're interested. It's bait. All right, M. Hearts M., 3 minutes or less, presents an evening of speed dating for men who want to meet men. The event will take place on Friday, January 30th. Registration is 7:30 and it goes to 8 p.m. Event 8 p.m. at the Rhizome Cafe, 317 East Broadway. That's an excellent place to go, Rhizome Cafe. Suggested donation is $10. For more information, go to www.3minutesorless.ca. That is the word three, not the number. We have a member from Seva. I wonder if you'd like to try reading a public service announcement.
I'd love to. London Drugs presents an educational forum on weight and well-being moderated by Dr. Art Hister, with all proceeds going to the Looking Glass Foundation for Eating Disorders. The event will take place on Saturday, January 31st from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Vancouver Wall Centre Hotel, 1088 Burrard. Tickets are $10 at Lower Mainland London Drugs locations.
Okay. Trial by fire. I do this to the musicians too, so don't worry. Yeah.
Performance by circus artist Sand Northrup, a.k.a. One Woman Circus, that introduces children to circus skills like juggling and plate spinning. The event will take place Saturday, January 31st at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. at Arts Darts, 808 Richards, free admission. For more information, www.artstarts.com.
Okay, great. Thank you. So now that we've read our public service announcements, what kind of public service do you do?
Well, SEVA is an international non-government organization whose mission for the last 27 years has been the eradication of preventable and treatable blindness in the developing world.
Okay, and I guess this is quite a problem?
It's a significant problem. There's about 45 million people in the world who are blind today, and about 36 million of them don't have to be. It's easily treatable or preventable.
Okay. And what kinds of countries is this happening in?
Well, it happens in almost all the developing world, but Save It Canada specifically works in India, Tibet, Nepal, Tanzania, and this year we added three new countries, Guatemala, Cambodia, and Egypt.
Okay. And so what does SEVA stand for?
It actually doesn't stand for anything. SEVA is a Sanskrit word, which is an Indian language, and it means service.
Service.
And our logo is actually the eyes of the Buddha. So we have a strong cultural tradition in the Indian, Tibetan, and Nepali cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So so how did this get started? Like, where did it come from, the SEVA organization?
Do you want me to take this one, Susan, or you want to take this? Okay, I'll take this one. SEVA started actually in the late 1970s in Berkeley, California, mm-hmm. and it was started by a group of individuals who were the ones who were responsible for the final eradication of smallpox in India. And these were epidemiologists and medical doctors. There was a performance artist. There was a clown. Wavy Grava, who was the MC at Woodstock, was one of the founders of SEVA. Larry Brilliant, who's now the head of Google Foundation, is one of the founders of SEVA Foundation. So it was a real mixed bag of people who decided that they needed to get together. Now that smallpox had been eradicated, what could they focus on next? And there was a French woman by the name of Nicole Grasset, who was an epidemiologist and an ophthalmologist, and she said, why don't we tackle blindness? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where it started. And then two of the board members of SEVA Foundation were actually Canadians, and in 1982 they incorporated in Canada, primarily at first just to access Canadian government funding. And so mm-hmm. that's where it started.
So was it because Canadian government was the best tactical place to go, or why did it land in Canada?
Well, because they were Canadian, and they knew that CETA existed, and at that time CETA probably had a lot more money than it does now, although CETA still does fund SEVA, and we're very grateful for that, if they're listening. but at the time, there was a lot of money available for development through the Canadian government, so it was a good, and a whole new country full of donors to expose to the problem of blindness.
So would this have been in the 80s?
Or 82.
82?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And why is it just the normal kind of like blindness that you come across in these countries?
Well, I don't know that there is a really normal kind of blindness. Most blindness that's either treatable or preventable is actually blindness caused by cataract. And everybody will get cataracts. You can't prevent them. No matter where you live, you will get them. It just depends on how old you are.
Right.
And people in the developed world will get them treated before they even become a problem, before you even barely notice that you have them. But in the developing world, where there's lack of resources, lack of education, lack of understanding, lack of trained medical personnel, people will have cataracts that are so fully developed they're completely blind from them. So almost 50% of all blindness that's treatable or preventable is caused by cataract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how exactly does it work then? I guess there's people on the ground in other countries?
Yeah. SEVA was actually one of the pioneers of the whole notion of sustainable development. So we were one of the first organizations that believed that you had to give people a hand up, not a hand out. And so it's always been our way to train the people, the personnel on the ground, so that they can create their own programs and train their own local personnel to develop a sustainable and locally managed eye healthcare program.
Mm-hmm.
So while at the very beginning we would have been sending physicians from North America over to do the surgeries and to train, we almost never do that now unless there's something a very new specialized skill or how to do use a new piece of equipment. So all of our partners are doing the surgery themselves. The Tibetans are operating on the Tibetans, the Nepalis are operating on Nepalis, Indians on Indians, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do in Canada is we provide our partners, and we always work with local partners, with funding and expertise so that they can create their own eye health care programs that work for their own particular situations, their own cultures, their own needs.
So it's culturally
sensitive.
Sensitive,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, always has to be. Just because Nepal and India are side by side, or Nepal and Tibet are side by side, their needs and cultural differences are huge. So you have to be, we have to be sensitive. There's also huge political pressures, too, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan actually just spent last summer, she spent 3 months in Tibet at one of our eye camps, and she has a lot of really great stories to tell about Seva's eye camps in Tibet and some of the stories that that she saw and experienced there as well.
Okay, well, I'd like to hear one.
most of the eye surgeries done in Tibet are, we have to reach local people, and they're nomads, a lot of them, and they live in very remote areas and small villages, etc. So they take what they call eye camps, and that's when the doctors travel to those remote areas. And oftentimes they'll work with a local clinic or hospital, but sometimes they also have to, or they used to more so, set up tents, etc., and operate in the field. And what they do about a month before the eye camp starts, the local leaders will spread the word throughout the population. A lot of it's by word of mouth. And then people with eye problems will be screened so that when the eye doctors arrive, the people will be pre-screened, and then they can start the surgeries. And the eye camps that I saw, we went to a small town called Zotto, which is up near the headwaters of the Mekong River. And people came from all over. Some of them traveled for days, some hours.
Yeah.
And they had to stay with relatives or whatever, and then they would come and have their eyes operated on. Many of them came in with either one or both eyes sightless and would leave with their sight restored.
Yeah, so I guess they'd have to travel with someone else, obviously, if they're blind, I guess.
Well, the thing about...
How would that work?
Well, the thing is that in these countries, there is no internal support system. There's no white canes or guide dogs or anything like that.
Yeah.
When someone loses their sight, a member of the family has to take care of them because the terrain is such that they can't be just left to wander, and it's somebody has to... and it's usually a child to look after all of their needs, you know, by feeding them, getting them up, taking them to the latrine and back. And it's an incredibly sad because it's a huge weight on the family.
Mm-hmm.
Two people are put out of commission, the one who can't see and the one who has to look after them. Mm-hmm. So when their sight is restored, it adds a lot to the family, consequently to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And blindness, while oftentimes... poverty exacerbates a problem, it also feeds the problem of poverty and puts a huge strain on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the operation, preparation time is about a half an hour, and the operation itself 10 to 15 minutes, and their sight's restored. Mm-hmm. And it's only, in our terms, about $50. So it's a huge... And the doctors who volunteer, a lot of them volunteer their service or are paid minimally, will travel these long distances in Tibet, and, you know, I know the doctors that came from Darsado to Zotto, it took them almost 23 hours to get there by road. The only way to get in was by road.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did one in Yushu as well. And in 2 weeks, they gave sight to over 300 people.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
That's got to be very gratifying.
Oh, it's very exciting because when you're there, and I was the only Westerner there,
yeah,
and they quickly determined that I must be with Seva, so I got a lot of the thanks.
Yeah.
And it was very, very difficult to tell them, no, it's not me, I'm just here to take pictures and gather stories. But their gratitude,
yeah,
because it changes their lives, it does way more than just restore their sight.
Yeah.
It gives them back a life.
Yeah.
And some of them will see children or grandchildren or their sisters or brothers for the first time.
Wow.
Or for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's very, very exciting. And they're very, very grateful. And they couldn't get it any other way. And Seva does most of the eye restoration in Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very exciting.
So what is the procedure? Is there a variety of procedures? There might be. But like, what exactly happens when people are getting their eyes fixed?
Well, they make a... First, they test their eyes. They check their blood pressure and blood sugar levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have high blood pressure, they can't have it done. And then they will anesthetize the eyes, put drops in the eyes, look at the eye, anesthetize the eye, and they have what would seem like an archaic way of doing it, but they put a weight on the eye to distribute the anesthetic. And then when they're ready, they go into the operating room, and the doctor makes a small slit above the pupil and reaches in and removes the natural lens which has the cataract on it, and then slips an artificial lens in, a plastic lens.
What are they using to do this?
They use a little scalpel, and then they sort of like a tweezer to remove the lens.
Wow, that's going to be scary.
Well, and these doctors are very skilled. The doctor that I observe the most can do over 90 of these a day.
Yeah.
But he's doing them all the time, and that's what it takes. And when they do them over and over again, it becomes very easy for them.
Yeah.
And they it's all over in a short period of time. They close up the eye, and then they put a patch on it. And the next day they come back, and they are given instructions on aftercare because they need to have eye drops and for a while to keep out any infection.
Mm-hmm.
They're very quick, very efficient, and the people are thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got a bit of perspective on how grateful people can be, because I just came from getting laser eye surgery myself a few weeks ago. And while I was in the waiting room, I was reading through their little thank you book, and there's like millions and millions of like very, very grateful people just to have, you know, like for me, you know, imperfect vision to perfect vision, right? Because I was short-sighted. I could only see 9 feet in front of me perfectly. So just to think of someone who's totally blind and how much more grateful that would be, that's quite amazing.
It's actually almost a miracle. I mean, we have story after story of what amounts to miracles. A mother who she became blind from cataracts and got pregnant and had her child all while she was completely blind. And they heard about, this was in Nepal, heard about the surgical camp that Seva was sponsoring. So her husband and she and her infant son, which son was about two at this point, walked 3 days through the mountains to come to this camp. And she had cataract surgery. She had actually had both eyes done at the same time, which is quite unusual. We don't do that very often because of risk of infection. Mm-hmm. And it was the moment that she saw her baby, who was 2 years old, for the very first time. I mean, things like that are miracles, I think. And it's 15 minutes of virtual no pain for something that's low cost. You can change someone's life, you can alleviate poverty at the same time, and I think it's the easiest, most gratifying thing that that an individual could accomplish in a very short period of time. So
you have very skilled doctors. Where do you get the doctors from? These are local people that have been trained?
Yeah.
And was that just sort of a chain of apprenticeship, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, it takes a long time when you're trying to build an eye care program within a country, especially one that's developing, and there's not a lot of institutes of higher education. So, I mean, first, you know, we might have brought them back to maybe to Europe or North America for training. And then once some people got trained, then they started training their own people locally. But now what's really cool and what's happening everywhere, actually, is what used to be really traditional, a north-south transfer of information. So it would be someone from North America or Europe training someone from the south in India or Nepal or Africa. Now it's really a south-south training. So our partners in India will train our partners in Nepal, and our partners in Africa will bring people from Tibet over to train, and people from Cambodia will go to a childhood meeting in Africa. So it's far more a south-south transfer of information, a transfer of knowledge, than it is a north-south transfer. It's completely changed now.
Mm-hmm. And they're all so committed. They work very long hours. They work from early in the morning till late at night when they're doing these eye camps.
Yeah.
But this one doctor, he was in the lunch hour when we were in Yushu, was training the other doctors on the latest techniques because he's very skilled at it. So he was teaching them the techniques. They never stop. They're always... They're just so committed because the problem is so huge, and they need well trained doctors, and they need a lot of eye care and a much better infrastructure. So they work; they're dedicated to working at it. It's amazing what they're willing to do.
Mm-hmm. So, are there language? There must be quite a few language things you have to go through too. Is there sort of a language barrier?
Well, for the partners that we work with, there's always someone who can speak English. And because we're dealing directly with our partners, which yes. is either an office, a SEVA office, because we have one in Tibet and Nepal. There's also one in Cambodia that is funded by SEVA Berkeley. So, I mean, the English isn't a problem. And then dealing with the, doing the training and the other work, it's the locals training the locals so that there isn't all that much of a language barrier. We're doing, when we go to the programs, it's mostly to observe or to assist in some fine-tuning of a program, and we would deal with directly with the staff that we're in contact with. So mm-hmm. There's not a language barrier there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So... So I guess people, you're saying that people travel long distances. I'm just wondering if people can get a sort of sense of that. Would you be able to elaborate on that possibly? I know these regions we're talking about are very mountainous regions, right? Well, Tibet and
yeah, you have to go sometimes not around the mountain. It might be a short distance if you could go over the mountain, but
yeah.
when the doctors came from Dorsedo to Sado, it took a long time, but when I went into the area, I got to Shinning, and it was 12 to 16 hours from Shinning down to Yushu, and then another 6 hours from Yushu to Sado, where this nomad village. The thing is that there's not always freeways. You know, some of the roads are very hazardous, and the road between Yushu and Sado, when we were coming back, was closed because a truck had gone off the road. Some of the road had caved in, and you know, you have to travel slowly through the roads, and the roads aren't that great, so it's that impedes quick travel anywhere. Mm-hmm. And there's not a bus service or anything. You'd have to go by car to get mm-hmm. to some of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
But in the mountains of Tibet, that's what makes it the areas are very mountainous, and many of the places are very remote. And huge distances, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, for places like Nepal and Tibet that are highly mountainous, part of the problem of getting people to the services or bringing the services to the people is because of the vast land masses and the sparse population and the fact that the population is dispersed. But what we've found, too, is that often that the people who are living within walking distance of a clinic that's providing eye care services aren't accessing the eye care either. And that's particularly true in Africa. So it's not always distance that's keeping people from getting eye care. Sometimes it's a lack of finances. Sometimes it's lack of education or lack of understanding. They're afraid that if they go into the hospital to get their eyes treated, they're going to be replaced with goat's eyes. That's a typical African response, is that they think we put in goat's eyes when we operate in the eyes. So, I mean, there's a lot of barriers that stop people from coming in from services, and it differs from country to country and region to region. So we have to be sensitive to what those barriers are, understand them, mm-hmm. and then figure out a way to overcome them so that we can bring people to our services and our services to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes in Tibet it will be they feel they've gone blind because of karma.
Right.
And one of the early approaches why don't we just fix one eye? So they at least had 50% of their sight, and then they'd be okay with that. But it's these cultural differences. SEVA has always been very, very sensitive about those.
So is that that particular case, fixing just one eye, why would that be rather than two? Is that sort of so that karma works its way?
Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
They're still facing their karma, but at least now they can see.
They can see it head on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever want to have a third eye?
I don't know. I haven't heard that.
That's
one.
A whole other topic.
Yeah. That's the SEVA board. Yeah.
SEVA doesn't get into the third eye.
Neat. I can just imagine all that that comes out of this. Like, I'm sure there's legends and stuff that grows from this locally.
When I was in Tibet, the year before last, I went to see the programs and to meet some of the local doctors and our partners there, because I hadn't been yet. And they took me on a tour to meet the patients some of the patients that SEVA had treated, some within Lhasa, because we work out of a hospital in Lhasa, and some in a very remote village up in far west Tibet, in a place called Dau. And It's the closest thing I'm ever going to be to a rock star, because when we drove into this small village of Dau, there was a roadblock just before the town, and the mayor and every dignitary was there with glasses of something we were supposed to drink, and kata, uh-huh. which are the traditional Tibetan scarves of thanks and blessing. And yeah. they took me to some of the patients that we treated at various eye camps, and the gratitude these people mm-hmm. felt towards me as Seva's representative was so incredibly overwhelming. I mean, they were all crying and telling their stories about how their lives would be changed and how grateful they were. And I had kata after kata after kata put around my neck so that I couldn't even see anymore. And it was so overwhelming. I mean, it's just the difference. And it's not, I mean, Seva facilitates it, but it's not Seva that does it. It's the people yeah. who donate to Seva that do it, really. And that's where the gratitude should be placed. Of course, I tried to tell them that, but they didn't quite understand that or care. I was there in front of them. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, it was just so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could see from their point of view, too, though, why they would act that way. Because there's this great thing happening, but they want to attach it to someone or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have to express their gratitude somehow. Yeah,
yeah, because I think that's part mm-hmm. of just being human, is you want a credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Express the joy, having their life back.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. And we also saw a lot of children in Tibet, too, that have congenital cataract.
Uh-huh.
And some of them couldn't attend school, etc. And a child in that doesn't have his eye treated. What's the lifespan of one that's totally blind? Maybe a year or so?
Well, I mean, children who go blind tend to die far younger mm-hmm. than, far sooner than children who aren't blind, for a whole lot of reasons. And if children don't get treated very quickly after they develop cataract, they, even after the cataract is removed, their sight won't be restored completely, because the pathways between the brain and the eye haven't developed properly.
Mm.
So we do a lot of school screening and training of teachers and training of local healers to recognize eye diseases in kids in particular, so we can get them treated as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like every culture, and it's true in North America, the adult men will get treated first. Women and children will get treated second, and probably girl children will be treated last.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one of Seva's focuses, to really concentrate on the people who are the most vulnerable, which tend to be women and children and the very poor. And so we spend a lot of time and effort reaching them in particular to make sure that they're treated.
Mm-hmm. Is that a challenge?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cultural, social, religious, political, economic reasons why women don't get treated and children don't get treated. And
mm-hmm.
every place, it might be a little bit different. And so we have to figure out, okay, why is it here? Why aren't women coming in to get treated here? And then figure out the ways that we can, strategies that we can utilize to make sure that women do come in. I mean, 2/3 of the world's blind are women, yet they get treated less than half as often.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to eliminate blindness, if we want to reduce poverty, we have to start with the women.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been one of our focuses.
Okay. And how is the growth of Seva? If, I mean, the mission being to eliminate blindness, then that's quite a ways to go, or is it? How are things going?
Well, we're not the only organization out there doing it, thank goodness. There's a lot of really good organizations that are treating blindness, but unfortunately the rate of blindness is increasing faster than we can treat it.
Mm-hmm.
Partly that's due because the population is aging, a large population is aging, and so it is increasing. We can't meet demand, but we're working as hard as we can. So mm-hmm.
that's why the infrastructure, building self-sustaining programs is so important,
yeah.
so they grow within the country and they can grow those their eye service.
I guess it's kind of like franchising in a way.
It's exactly mm-hmm. like franchising. You're absolutely
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we don't charge people to do it.
Yeah,
yeah. And we give them all the free support they won't. Yeah.
The association may be a bit off, but the concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
There's really no reason mm-hmm. it shouldn't be. Not only that, but international eye care is unique in that it actually has the ability to generate income. So while you're treating people, you can also make money at it, which brings more income and helps you develop the program and grow the program, develop strategies to reach the rural poor, which costs a lot of money. It's easy to treat people in a city. It's cheap. To go mm-hmm. out into the country is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's unique because if it's structured properly and designed well, it can actually generate income. So...
Mm-hmm.
It's a double whammy.
Okay. Well, if people want to learn more or get involved with SEVA, what should they do?
They should go to our website, which is www.seva.ca, or they can call the office at 604-713-6622, or drop by and visit us. We're on the corner of Maple and 12th in Kitsilano, and we'd be happy to chat.
Okay.
And SEVA is spelled S-E-V-A.
Okay.
It means service in Sanskrit.
Yes, service. Okay, well, this has been really enjoyable, and thank you for coming in. And you're welcome to stay and listen to the music and join the party that we're going to be having here. I can see some of the Song Circle participants. Seems like everybody's here. And it's been a pleasure. And your names?
My name is Penny Lyons, and I'm the Executive Director of SEVA Canada.
And I'm Susan Erdman. I'm a member of the board of SEVA Canada.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to go into the Song Circles. But first, I'm going to tell you all about CJSF in many various ways through many station IDs. That's, you're going to hear just a great variety of different ways of announcing what radio station we're on.
Don't listen to this noise. Listen to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby. On cable at 93.9 FM and on the internet at www.cjsf.ca.
In the instrument, tons of pence, girls penning songs with big hair, aristocrats. Now she lies on a plush velvet bed, shaped like a coffin and filled with bats.
是九零点一 FM。来自于 Burnaby Mountain 的 CJSF 电台。
I hate watching the TV.
Me too.
You know what's better?
TV sucks.
TV does suck. I like the radio.
I like the radio too.
You know what's a great station to listen to?
CJSF 90.1 FM.
CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from you know where.
Burnaby.
And they're also available on 93.9 Cable FM.
Or on the internet at www.cjsf.ca.
Okay, so we're still getting ready here, but I have a another little thing for you to listen to.
Another round. Heard a song on her radio. Song told a story about a woman and a man.
Tune in to CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for
Another round.
Song rocked her soul. Well, it rocked her world. She was holding on to something.
Just hold on. Okay, so, just 1 second here, live audience. This is the beauty of moving on the fly here. Just one more little.
CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, serving the Lower Mainland.
And we have Vanessa Silva. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Just watch the, All right, so it's here, Vanessa Silva.
So this first song is called They Say. I can't speak any louder. You'll have to listen. You have no choice. Does it matter what I'm saying? My eyes, they tell a story. Still, it's my gaze that you avoid.
That's really great.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so that's Vanessa Silva, and next up will be Silken.
And you are listening to Melodies in Mind on CJSF 90.1 FM. Are you going to need time to tune up and things like that?
We're in tune.
Okay.
Just have to hook up.
Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what. We actually I don't know exactly how we're going to hook that up, so we'll have to figure something out.
Okay.
Does every song require?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll figure something out here. In the meantime, what I'll do is I'll have Sadie come in.
Hi, Ryan.
Good.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. All right. Sadie's a regular to the show. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Ryan.
Sadie Davis.
All right, this song's called Merry-Go-Round.
Yeah, that's one of the best.
You see, I must be the type of girl flies around on cotton candy on top of the world. Seems I don't care, Karen's kept me too long somewhere. Wanna know how I can avert to take a look like me? Before you're on a dance, one and one and one makes three. You can't cage a bird flying free.
Excellent. Sadie Davis.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, and I think I'll bring the Creaking Planks in next, and then we'll figure out our order. This is the nature of Melodies in Mind. It is an adventure every time for the listener and for the participants. Okay. I hear some creaking planks. Something must be up.
Something is creaking there.
Yeah.
That wasn't a creak. You're not fooling me.
That was a pop.
The popping amps.
Well, we use some pop hits. Sometimes we're up a creek.
Yeah. Songs about cola, right? Pop hits.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yeah.
Pop musical.
All right. This is one of our rearrangements. Via Richard Cheese. Let's hit it.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
Hello, what? On the flamboyant tip, I'll just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam. Done when I come, slam, damn, I feel like the son of Sam. Don't make me Rex it hectic. Next, get the chair, get me going like General Electric. Yeah, the lights are blinking, I'm thinking it's all over when I go over drinking. Oh, making my mind slow. That's why I don't fuck with the big four. Oh, no, I got to maintain. Cause a nigga like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. Undercover, now it's time for the blubber, blabber to watch the belly get fatter. That boy on a diet, don't try it. I'll check your ass like a looter in a riot. My shit's fat like a sumo, slamming that ass, leaving your face in the grass. Cause you know I don't take a doula lightly. Punk just chills, cause you can't outride me. Kick that style, wicked wild. Happy face, nigga, never see me smile. I'll rip that mainframe, I'll explain. A nigga like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane
in the brain. Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. I think I'm going crazy.
And that's the Crazy Creaking Planks. And now we'll see, we're going to have Silken in, and we'll get this circle back in order so that it goes round. So, just in case you're wondering, you're listening to the radio. That's what this is. It's our radio. And it's 90.1 FM. And the show is Melodies in Mind. We are part of the CJSF radio station. Just a small part of the larger, much bigger radio station programming full of shows doing radio programming on the radio. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Silken.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Mama told me not to fall in love with anyone. So what did I do? Fall in love with you. My papa told me mind my P's and Q's. So what did I do? Fell in love with A, B, and D. I should have been more. Thank you.
go. It gets cold, and I'm still wondering where sunshine goes. One time grows old. Told me, don't be fooled by anyone. So what did I do? Was a complete fool for you? My doctor told me, don't be fooling around with anyone. So what did I do? Got a bad case of you, and I should have been.
That's a great sound.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to take the second round now. We're going to go in the same order as that first round, only the second time. So that's exactly how it goes. The second round of Melodies of Mind is the MySpace round. So all four songs in this round will go on the MySpace page for Melodies of Mind. And although it is MySpace, I will share it with everybody. You just got to go to www.myspace.com/melodiesinmind. I can see people found that funny. That's good. The listening audience, I don't often hear laughs from them. Okay. All right. So we got Vanessa Silva.
Doesn't actually have a name, but I say sleep a lot, so I'll call it that.
The moon.
your fate and tells no one. The ice melts, the waves quench, I just wanna sleep. The storms die, the winds hide, 'cause it wasn't mine to keep. The waves quench, just wanna sleep. The storms die, the winds high, it's still not mine to keep. The starlight's catching on the falling leaves. Try to catch some when it's gone for them, I'll grieve.
Thank you, Vanessa. Okay, so now we'll have, what is it, Sadie. Sadie Davis will be next in line. Excuse me. Oh.
It's keeping us on our toes. I was supposed to be third, Brian.
Yeah, well, it's kind of reinvented itself.
Awesome. It's Sadie Davis Black, by the way.
Sadie Davis Black, oh.
I just changed it. And there's a guy going around saying he's my brother.
Yeah?
His name's Rod Black, but it's not true.
Oh.
Jet Black's there, playing at the Pit Pub this Friday. Just kidding around, Rod. Love ya. Okay, this song. Wow. Nathaniel is going to come play with me.
All right.
This song's called Living It Right.
He's a sexy man.
The sexy man.
Wow.
Thank you. have some more pirates come in.
I'm here.
Yeah, we've got one pirate here. Where are the other pirates?
Ahoy, ahoy.
Hi. Thought you were out to sea.
Have to play it again?
Yeah.
It's another classic by Al Mader, the author of Dead Man's Pants. In case I hadn't heard this song for about 10 years as a performance poem, just waiting for someone to set it to music, and no one ever did. So finally I had to take matters into my own hands. Sexual moron, a physical fool. Should've gone to guidance, yeah, back in high school. Instead of Joy of Sex, I read Jean-Paul Sartre. Instead of falling in love, well, I just fell apart. I'm not bragging, I'm not gay, I'm just a lousy lover. I'm a lousy lady. I'm a lousy lover, I'm a lousy lady. Now good in the sack, now good in the hay. Well, conversation, that's my forte. I'm a lousy lover, I'm a lousy lady. Confidentially, my confidence is shot. I don't know what I am, but I know what I'm not. I'm no sex machine, that's not my claim to fame. Casanova's not my middle name. Steam and seduction, hey, that's not my style. My inhibitions just sit there, they don't want to run wild. I lack the essential sensuality. Now I got no gift for intimacy. But I'll sleep with you, you'll sleep with me. But after it's over, I know what you'll say. You're a thousand lover, you're a thousand lay. Get me under the covers, I'll discover. Jesus Christ, I'm a lousy lover. I'm a lousy lover, I'm a lousy lay. Now good in the sack, now good in the hay. Well, conversation is my forte, cause I'm a lousy lover, I'm a lousy lay. It's not me you're looking for.
It's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Never heard a song like that before, I must say. Totally turning things around there. Okay, so we have got Silken.
Hey. Coming home. Been a long time coming. Seems like a lifetime ago. Here we are now, just two friends rocking in our chairs on the porch under the starry sky alone. You're smoking your cigar and I'm talking. just stringing words along and trying to say what's on my mind. Something like this. I've tried asking God for forgiveness. I've tried praying for my soul. I've tried backpacking in the Himalayas, and I've tried coming home. I've tried being a hobo. I've tried planting trees. I've tried sitting on a mountain. Now I'm done trying all the things. I wanna come home. Just wanna come home. Just wanna come home. It's been a long time coming. Well, it must be 10 years or so. I'm looking over at your face and seeing something. New lines I've never seen before. You're smoking your cigar and I'm talking. Just stringing words along and trying to say what's on my mind. Something like this. I've tried asking God for forgiveness. I've tried praying for my soul. I've tried backpacking in the Himalayas, and I've tried coming home. I've tried being a hobo. I've tried planting trees. I've tried sitting on a mountain. Now I'm done trying all the things. I wanna come home. Just wanna come home. I wanna come home. Just wanna come home.
That's a great sound, that electric violin. Yeah, that's a great song, too. I really like that. Okay, so I've got a little trick up my sleeve, if I haven't had enough already. I'm going to have everyone read a public service announcement. So every act will get a public service announcement. It's a weekly challenge where people are challenged, not obliged, but challenged, to compose a tune to the public service announcement. And while you study those, I've got something else that will fill the airwaves.
Are you ready for the river? It's going to change the ways in which we live.
Wanna wake up and know where I'm going. Say I'm ready. Say
tune in to Sustainable Futures on CJSF 90.1 FM Fridays from 3 to 4 as we facilitate the exciting sustainable future that needs to happen. We are here for you in your community. So please check out Sustainable Futures every Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. And if you have ideas for the show, contact iamsustainable@gmail.com.
I'm ready to let the rivers wash over me.
Okay, so we've got Sadie Davis will begin.
London Drugs presents an educational forum on weight and well-being moderated by Dr. Art Hissler, with all proceeds going to the Looking Glass Foundation for Eating Disorders. The event will take place on Saturday, January 31st from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Vancouver Wall Centre Hotel, 1088 Burrard Street. Tickets $10 at Lower Mainland London Drugs locations.
All right, and who would like to go next?
Okay, it'll be over the top.
Silken.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Performance by circus artist Stan Northrop, aka One-Woman Circus, that introduces children to circus skills like juggling and plate spinning. The event will take place Saturday, January 31st at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. at Art Starts, 808 Richards, free admission.
Excellent. Who would like to go next? Will it be Vanessa?
Okay. So, I guess I have to follow you. It's not as exciting, but 3 Minutes or Less presents an evening of speed dating for men who want to meet men. The event will take place on Friday, January the 30th, registration 7:30 to 8 p.m., event at 8 p.m. at the Rhizome Cafe.
Yeah, very good.
On East Broadway. Suggested donation of $10. For more information, 3minutesorless.ca. 3 spelled out.
All right.
Oh. Oh, so exciting.
There's a lecture. There's a lecture. There's a lecture on Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Fletcher Challenge Canada Theater. That's at SFU in downtown. Now, what's this lecture about? The Center for the Comparative Study of Muslim Societies and Cultures is presenting a lecture. I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly, but it looks like Hamid Nafisi. He's from Northwestern University, that kind of rhymes.
Chicago.
The subject of the lecture. The subject of the lecture is Iranian accented cinema of displacement, and it is free.
Wow.
Yes, creaking planks. A band made for this kind of exercise. All right. So we're going to... Yeah.
Yes.
Finally found our purpose and function. The essays.
Impromptu advertising.
So we're in round 3, and now I'll have Vanessa. All right. You're listening to Melodies in Mind on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are... maneuvering around this studio. If you want an idea of how big the studio is, it's not very big.
So, oi, apparently public service announcements isn't my calling, but that's okay. And another song with no name. Hold on to time while I've lost all grace. Is it a selfish game I play? Run round in circles like a dog has no tail. Am I running for the sake of it? With all thoughts my mouth speaks, few words at most. I can't seem to connect the two at all. If you ask me to, I'll smile even for a photograph. Truth remains, I've forgotten how to laugh. What do you know? You're just here for the show. But
but the curtain's been drawn long ago. Shows what I know. Though I've been acting this out for so long, can't face the audience alone. Gotta pick up your pace, it's to stay in the race, though the end is nowhere in sight. You have to fight back your tears if you want a shot at all. If you let one slip, you might as well take the fall. What do you know? You're just here for the show, but the curtain's been drawn long ago. What do I know? Though I've been acting this out for so long, can't face the audience alone. Here for the show, but the curtain's been drawn long ago. Shows what I know, though I've been acting this out for so long, can't face the audience alone.
That's great.
Thank you.
You're writing really great songs.
Thank you.
So we have Sadie Davis Black will be next. Back in black.
Thanks, Ryan.
But not quite in black.
Can I plug myself?
Yeah.
Playing at the Yale Tuesday, February 3rd, 8 o'clock. Free show, great sound.
Yeah.
So come on down,
that's
people.
That's a venue I've not seen yet.
It's wicked.
Good.
It's a great sound there, yeah. So yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, Ryan. And it's been a pleasure to play off these talented people.
Yeah.
Sure, I can't play at the Highland Pub, but it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, actually, I might as well announce that while it's on my mind. The performers on the show tonight, with the exception of Sadie, who's got another commitment, will be performing at the Highland Pub at SFU this next Monday. So that... Actually, I can't really think of the date off the top of my head, but I believe it is February 3rd?
Second.
Monday, February 2nd at SFU. Go to the Highland Pub. You will see that these people that you've been hearing on the radio actually do exist in person. Okay.
Very talented bunch too, Ryan. Good
yeah.
choice. Okay, this song is called Down to You.
Always thought that I couldn't be me without you inside. Close an open door, but I can't stand beside it anymore. I'm tired of faking make-believe. Is this a game you've been playing with me? 'Cause I could get used to being with nobody else. On you, finally confess the truth. Tell you I'm a letting go, and I love you. You should know, but I get so confused. Now it's time for me to choose. Got so much being free to you. Don't you know that's why? It takes so long for us to get it right. Don't know why or what I do, or why I'm terrified of telling you. I'm tired of faking make-believe. Is this a game you've been playing with me? 'Cause I could get used. nobody else but you. Finally confess the truth. Tell you I'm letting go and I love you. You should know. But I get so confused when it comes down to you. I get so confused. Yeah, I could get used to being with nobody else but you. Finally confess the truth. Tell you I'm letting go and I love you. You should know. So confused when it comes down to you. I get so confused when it comes down to you. I get so confused. Hey.
Great, great. That's Sadie Davis Black. And now we're going to have the Creaking Planks. If you're needing any pirates in your life, there are the Creaking Planks.
If there's any young people listening to this show, it's probably time to head toward bed.
Uh-oh.
Don't let your parents catch you listening to this music. If they do, don't complain to the record station or the CRTC.
Or me.
All right, we've got some friends all over the place, in Portland especially, and they think that they're better than everyone else, and this is a little song they wrote to commemorate this. We happen to agree, Portland is pretty swell.
Portland.
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 California, be sure to wear a rubber, 'cause there's lots of nasty people down there. They're covered with long blonde artificial hair. They look like shit and they hate it when you stare. But in Portland, friendly Portland, everyone is happy and kind. They've got free money down at the liquor store. You only have to smile and say hi.
Hi!
In Portland, friendly Portland, everything's gonna be fine. In Texas, lousy Texas, you'll be bitten by deadly snakes and bugs. The fuckers there, they'll mess with you. They'll rip you off and sell you bogus drugs. But in Portland, stony Portland, you'll be high from the moment you wake up. 'Cause they got the dankest nugs that anybody's got. The hydroponic basement's overflowing with pot. In Portland, stony Portland, they won the cannabis cup. In Alaska, cold Alaska, brr, you'll either freeze your nuts off or get eaten by a bear. The people there, they just don't care. They drink, 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 and they wallow in despair. But in Portland, snazzy Portland, they put antidepressants in the beer. We hardly even notice that it rains all year. The cops shoot at us, but we have no fear. In Portland, snazzy Portland, your troubles will disappear.
Wow. All right. And that was the Creaking Planks here high, high, high up on top of Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. That's right, we're on top of Burnaby Mountain looking down on you, unless you're on top of a mountain too, in which case we look up to you. You are our heroes. Got Silken.
Now we're going to Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Saw you around the corner of Carrière de Mar. Got a glimpse of you before you disappeared. Saw you standing by the statue of Christopher Columbus. Saw you touch the stone and kiss his feet. We're out with the bulls in Toledo. Ripped off all our clothes in the street. We made love under the Spanish skies in the dust, and then we fell asleep. Adios, Barcelona, adios. Barcelona, adios. What is it about this city that drives you mad? Could it be the passions of a thousand years? The smoke from my fortuna flies above the rooftops as strains of flamenco fill my head. We're out with the bulls in Toledo. Ripped off all our clothes in the streets. We made love under the Spanish skies in the dust, but we fell asleep. Barcelona, adios. Adios, Barcelona, adios.
And that is Silken. Okay. So that will be it for the show today. I'd like to thank everyone for coming in on the show and putting together a very, very good program. It would have been completely impossible without you, because it would have been just me. And that would have been quite something. So, the recorded version of myself, whom I call Taped Ryan, will also say goodbye. And just a little reminder, you can catch the performers of the show today, next Monday, live, in person, just to verify. If you want to verify that these people actually exist and don't exist just in your radio, you should go to the Highland Pub next Monday at 7 p.m. and see them perform live. And you can see how many pirates are available from the Creaking Planks also.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM, or on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
La 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 la
Thank you for listening to Melodies in Mind. It is my hope that you have had at least half as much fun as we did in putting this show together. It is a total joy to be bringing you the best in folk music every week. So thanks for checking out the show, and be sure to tell your friends, and tune in again next week, 8 to 10 p.m. And remember, without a tune in your head, you are seriously misled. Oh, and if you have any comments, email melodiesinmind@gmail.com.